Good morning. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we adore you today. Bless us and may we bless you through the music, through the spoken word, that everything that's said and done here today would glorify you. That as we interact with others, that we can point them to you, Lord. Focus on you, especially during this Christmas season when hearts are sensitive toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing a great hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you.
In week 4 of Advent, we light the candle of love, or the angel candle. From Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
So today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the final candle on the Advent wreath, the candle that represents love. We welcome you this morning. Glad you're here. Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments. Wander around for just a moment. Welcome your friends. Glad you're here today. Good to have you.
Be seated. So we sing hymn number 256. It's a traditional French carol melody Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella is the tune that you've probably heard during the Christmas season, maybe sometime in your lifetime. But these lyrics are really strong and go along with our theme of the day. Love has come. God so loved the world. Famous Christmas carols of all, O Holy Night, will be our offertory hymn today. It's hymn number 285. We'll sing all three stanzas today and then go back to the chorus, Fall on Your Knees. So be ready for that. Let's worship the Lord together as we sing.
Long lay the world, it's in and out. Lord and Heavenly Father, you are Christmas, as the song says. Lord, you are the reason that we have hope, joy, peace, and love in our lives. Once we accept you into our heart, Lord, all these things come with you. So we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, may we not keep these things to ourselves. May we share you with everyone that will listen, Lord, that a Savior is born. And Lord, as we celebrate this time of Christmas, may we express that and give freely what you have freely given to us. Lord, this morning as we take up an offering, we just ask that you bless it, Lord, and multiply it so that the good news can be heard, be shared and heard by all peoples. And Lord, we love you and we need you. And we say and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The day has come, my eyes have seen your salvation laid before me, which you prepared for all to see, your light, your glory here to set us free. Just like you promised, just like the prophet said, the hope of the world.
Thank you so much, choir, and Ken and Karen leading us in worship. Ken has been fighting the flu all week. He's no longer contagious. Everything's good. But what a trooper to fight through that and be here this morning, lead in early worship, lead in the late worship, come back tonight, lead carols by candlelight. Big day for Ken, and thankful for Ken and fighting through the flu to get here today to lead us in worship. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is our passage for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the greatest chapter on love. Today we light the candle that represents love. So we have, earlier in Advent, we lit the candle that represents hope. The second Sunday, we lit the candle that represents peace. Last Sunday, we lit the candle, the pink candle, that represents joy. And then today, we light the candle that represents love. Tonight, in Carols by Candlelight, one of the great things that we do at Carols by Candlelight each year is we light the center candle, the white candle, the Christ candle. Next Sunday, in our one worship service, we'll talk about the Christ candle, but tonight, we light the Christ candle, and then we see what the lighting of the Christ candle does, and then how it goes out to our congregation. But today, we talk about love. So the Apostle Paul wrote this incredible word about love in 1 Corinthians 13. So let me just give you real brief idea of what's going on here. So when Paul wrote this first letter to the church at Corinth, he broke the letter down basically into four main sections, four primary sections. And so in the third section, he deals with about six different subjects. The fourth subject that he deals with in that section is spiritual gifts. And so he talks about all of these different spiritual gifts. It's from chapters 13, or 12, 13, and 14. And so in essence, what Paul says, and this is a real short cut down version of what Paul is basically saying. Paul says, all of these spiritual gifts are well and good, very important. As a matter of fact, as the body of Christ, Paul writes about these spiritual gifts because Paul is saying we need to acknowledge these spiritual gifts. We need to make sure that we use these spiritual gifts. This is why God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us these spiritual gifts. And we need to, as the body of Christ, celebrate these spiritual gifts. However, Paul then comes to the end of this section by saying, all of these incredible spiritual gifts are well and good, should be celebrated, but there is no greater gift than the gift of love. So in essence, Paul says, you have your spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gives you this spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gives you this spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gives you this spiritual gift. So we have all of these spiritual gifts. You have one. I have one. You have some. And so we all have all of these spiritual gifts and talents that God gives to the body of Christ. But we all share the spiritual gift of love. All of us. And that's Paul wrapping this whole thing up, saying he emphasizes the uselessness and the meaninglessness of gifts and talents without love. Of course, the embodiment of this kind of love is the love that God has for us in Jesus. And this gift is called the gift of the gospel. So when we light these candles at Christmas or Advent, here's what we're basically saying. Church, the gift of the gospel is the gift that God gives you called hope. This is God's gift to you. The gift of the gospel, the gift of the good news of the gospel, is the gift of peace. And this is a gift that God gives to you. The world can't give it. This is the gift that God gives to you at Christmas. The gift of the gospel is the gift of joy, true inner joy that only God the Father in Christ Jesus can give. The world simply cannot give it. It tries, but it can't. That's the gift of Christmas. And in today, we see the same thing. We have the gift of love that the world tries to give, but the world simply does not know how to give. So like hope and peace and joy, love is the same thing. In 2013, I was in October thinking about Advent. Now, by 2013, I had been preaching for over 20, 30 years. And so I had come in my mind to the end of this whole thing called the Advent wreath. And I was like, Lord, I've said it in so many different ways. I don't know how to keep, I'm not gifted at this. How do I keep saying it? So I came in here to the sanctuary and I just sat down in the sanctuary and I said, all right, Lord, you got to give me a word here. And so that year, 2013, the Lord just kind of gave me this idea of simplify it, Joel. Just make it so simple. And I did. And so on that year, what I did was I just simply said, the world has a definition of hope. The Bible has a definition of hope. They're nowhere near the same thing. Which one do you want? The world has a definition of peace. The Bible has a definition of peace. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I'm coming to bring you peace. It's not the peace the world gives. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us point blank. It's not the peace the world gives, but it's my peace. So the world has a definition, and then the Bible has a definition. They're not the same thing. Which one do you want? And the same was true with joy, and the same was true with love. And so it was just that simple. Here's the world's definition. Here's the biblical definition. So make your decision. Which one do you want? And so I came back to that this year. I kind of went back to 2013. And so let's define love. What is love? Well, here's how Webster defines love. A strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. That's right. That's good. Webster also defines love as a strong sexual desire that we have for someone. That's right. Synonyms of love are affection, devotion, and passion. That's good. My theological dictionary defines love totally different. Just like hope, just like peace, just like joy. It's a totally different definition. So my theological dictionary, coming from Scripture, defines love this way. The supreme act of God. Not the supreme feeling of God. That's good, but more than a feeling. It is the supreme act of God. It is the supreme attribute of God. So this morning in early worship I said, God does not have many attributes. God is attributes. So He has them all. But the supreme attribute of God is this thing called love. It's also the concern for an action to bring about the welfare of others. The Bible defines love in three different ways. Eros, sexual passion. Philia, friendship. Agape, seeking the welfare of others. So once again, like hope and peace and love, our joy, love, we have an American definition of love that we have and were raised on, and then we have the biblical definition of love, and they're nowhere near the same definition. So like hope and peace and joy, love is the same thing. If you try to take your Americanized definition of those words and then you try to plug it into Scripture, it's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit because it's not the same thing. A few months ago, which could have been 15 years ago, now that I'm 61 years old, things kind of run together. But a few months ago, it seems like I was preaching this sermon on love. And here's what I basically said. I said, I want you to go back in your mind, think about 248 years of the history of America, and think about all of the songs that have been written in 248 years. Think about that. In every genre, country, pop, hip-hop, reggae, doesn't matter. Every song, Christian, every song that has ever been written, and put it in a computer. Now, you've got this computer, and it spits out every single song written in the American culture for 248 years. Put those in some kind of subject matter. The number one subject of all the songs that have ever been written in the American culture is what? Love. So just by listening to your radio, just by listening to YouTube, just by listening to songs written in the American culture, our American culture has told us what love is, how it's defined. For more than 100 years, we've been making movies. Take all the movies that have been made in 100 years, put them all in a computer. Subjects, scary movies, war movies. Take all of the subjects, put them all together, and what would be the number one subject matter of all of the movies that have ever been made, and you know exactly what the answer is: love. Love would be the number one theme of movies, of music. So as Americans, we have this definition of love that has been force-fed to us since the day we were born. So now let's ask the question. Americans, what is the definition of love? What is it? I mean, I'm not asking for you to blare it out. I'm just saying, think about it in your head. You've been raised in this American culture. So what is the greatest definition of love? And let me tell you what it's not. It's not, I want to know what love is by the old rock group from the 70s, Foreigner. That's not the best definition of love. Nor is it Pretty Woman by Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. You see, music and movies have taught us what love's idea really is. So what then, if it's not I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner, I'm dating myself, by the way, by picking a rock group from the 1970s, and it's not Julia Roberts and Richard Gere's Pretty Woman, then what is the greatest definition of love? Well, the greatest definition of love is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John Piper writes, "There is the danger that we might perish without Jesus. But God's design is to rescue us from perishing by trusting in His Son. By faith, we trust in His Son as our righteousness. Whoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So the greatest definition is not, I want to know what love is, or Pretty Woman. The greatest definition of love is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But the greatest picture of love that we have in Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we have the greatest definition, what God has done for us, and then we have the greatest picture of what that love actually looks like in our relationship with God and in our relationship with each other. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13 from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. Listen as I read. If I speak, now Paul has talked about spiritual gifts and all of these great spiritual gifts that God has given through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he comes to this conclusion. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. Did you hear that? If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have a faith that says to a mountain, jump, and the mountain jumps, but I don't do it out of a heart that is motivated for love, with love, then I'm nothing. If I give everything that I own to the poor, and even if I go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't do it out of a heart motivated with love, then I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, I believe, my words are cheap, that is, or what I even do, I'm bankrupt without love. I'm nothing. He then says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Let me say that again, Americans, at Christmas. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Did you hear that? Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the truth. Puts up with anything. Thank you, Janice. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But just keeps on going until the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, that's Jesus, our incompletes will be canceled out. Yes, thank you, Jesus. When I was an infant, at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. But when I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll all see it then. We'll see it as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly, just as He knows us now. But for now, until that completeness happens, we have three things to do. Three things to do that lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Did you hear that, church, at Christmas? Trust steadily in God. Two, hope unswervingly. Did you hear that? Hope unswervingly in God the Father. And then he says, love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. The greatest attribute of all time, church, is the gift called the gospel. The gift of love that God gives to us in Christ Jesus. That is his gift to you for Christmas. And there is no greater gift. So we come to the end. We light the fourth candle on the Advent wreath. Love, hope, peace, joy, and now love. And I have tried the best that I know how to define hope and peace and joy and love. God gives me only words to use. I am not a natural born writer. I have to work at it. And I'm not a natural born communicator. I have to work at it. Now, on top of not being a natural born writer and not being a natural born communicator, then on top of that, then I also have the frustration that the only thing that God gives to me is words. How do you define God's love in the gospel for what He has done for us in Christ Jesus when there are no words to define what God has done for us in Christ Jesus? How do you do that? Do you see my frustration, church? Huh? I know what it is, but I don't have words to define it because there are no words to define the gospel, the good news. Have you ever tried to tell somebody about the sweet taste of honey that's never had taste buds? Have you ever tried to tell somebody about how sweet and good honey is that's never had taste buds ever? They've never tasted anything? That's tough. It's really good. Well, that doesn't do it. I used the illustration this morning in the early worship. I said, have I ever tried to define what Janice's homemade orange rolls taste like to somebody that's never known taste? Man, that's hard to do. How difficult it is to tell somebody about taste when they've never known taste. And you see my frustration. That's the problem in trying to find God's love for us in His Son. I'm fully aware of the fact that it is God and God alone that provides the spiritual taste buds that we need in order to taste His love. And so I'm left right where I'm supposed to be, frustrated. Trying really hard, but frustrated. Because at some point, I have to come into this sanctuary and be all alone with God the Father and say, okay, Lord, I've done all I know to do. This is the only words I got. So, my prayer is that as the gift of Christmas, you will give the people that I preach to the spiritual taste that I can't give them. To taste and see just how great and how wonderful the gospel is. Really is. The hope and the peace and the joy and the love that we have in Christ Jesus, because that's a gift of the Holy Spirit that only the Holy Spirit can give. So, we come to the end, and I pray, Lord, give them the gift of the taste of the sweetness of the gospel. Father, thank you for that gift. And I'm thankful, Father, that many years ago, you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gave me the gift of life in Jesus. And how that gift is love in the gospel. And the taste is indescribable. There are times that I try to get up from the table and do things on my own, and I'm grateful that you put me right back down in on that table, and all of a sudden here come the orange rolls once again. And I taste it. And I know the gift of love. The good news, the gospel. And so I pray, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit to do that which the power of the Holy Spirit can do. Take these inadequate words of mine and breathe life that they may taste the sweet taste of the gift of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to give is Silent Night, Holy Night. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, when we talk about love, to experience the love that God has given to you in Jesus. If you know Jesus and you need to join our church or come and pray, do that now as we stand and sing.
Real quickly, let's take a look at our Lottie Moon video real quick.
I'm Adam Reinking, and my wife Amy and I are your IMB missionaries here in Prague, Czech Republic. We are church planting on the north side of the city in a neighborhood of about 30,000 people with probably 200 believers. The country as a whole is about 0.5% evangelical, so the churches are small, the ground is hard, lostness is everywhere. We've been serving for 8 years in this neighborhood, and we have a group that is meeting regularly, and we even have worship services, and we're heading towards having local Czech leaders, and we're really excited about that. We just wanted to say thank you for supporting us, thank you for giving so that we can represent Christ and share the gospel.
Every dime that you give to Lottie Moon International Mission, every single dime will go to missionaries like that in places like Prague who are carrying the gospel to a dark world. So if you haven't yet given, please make sure that you do. All right? Carols by Candlelight is tonight at 6 p.m. And got a great night planned, great music, lighting the Christ candle, sharing the Lord's Supper together. One of the great, great worship services in the life of our church. Anything?
Parents of children, they need to be here at 5:25.
All right.
Get ready for their sound check.
All right, so great night headed tonight. Unoffendable is a women's Bible study that will be led by Rachel Brown and Julie Brown starting January the 8th. Sign up is on the old Lord's Supper table. Sign up for that. January Bible study is going to be different this year. Paul and I have been talking about that, and we decided that we're going to do January Bible study for our senior adults at our 6 o'clock time in here in the sanctuary during the month of January into the 1st of February. Some of our men will be leading those Bible studies, January Bible studies, so sign up on the old Lord's Supper table as well. Spots, if you'd like to give, we want to go ahead and get started on the parking lot and renovating some of our things in our fellowship hall. So if you'd like to go ahead and give as you come to the end of the year, we would appreciate that. We want to get started on some things real quick as far as our building is concerned, all right? We've got our schedule for the week. Please make sure you know our schedule. Office will be closed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Nothing Wednesday night, of course, on Christmas Day. And then next Sunday, our one worship time, one Sunday a year. Sometimes it's two Sundays, but this year, the way the calendar fell, it's only the one Sunday. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock worship here in the sanctuary, casual, just a wonderful day of worship and celebration. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock, not 10:30, but 10 o'clock here in the sanctuary. No Sunday school, just that one worship. All right, let's all stand. This time, let's sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. All right, let's all stand and close and sing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is.